This is Audible.
The Wisdom of Sundays. Life-changing insights from Super Soul Conversations by Oprah Winfrey.
Dedication. I never thought of it that way. It's a small sentence, but one that I strive to hear and experience in every interview. It possesses the spiritual force to break through any barrier. It is weighted with enough depth to break down the deepest despair. It can break open the most revelatory aha blessings. It is my greatest privilege and honor to share these wisdom conversations I've had with some of the great thought leaders of our time. I offer my endless gratitude to every Super Soul Sunday guest whose spiritual journey and wise words have led me to knowing for sure that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Introduction. I believe part of my calling on Earth is to help people connect to ideas that expand their vision of who they really are and all they can be. That's why I created Super Soul Sunday. After filming more than 200 hours of heart-expanding interviews, I began to envision a truly transcendent book with words you can be inspired by and carry with you forever. We film every Super Soul Sunday interview at my home in Santa Barbara, where I feel the presence of God and the connection to all, capital A, that is greater than myself, most deeply. Morning walks with my dogs represent a form of prayer for me, taking time to delight in the glory of nature that surrounds me. Baby tears, little grass laced between a stone path, fallen acorns, a bird's nest. Nature represents to me both the majestic abundance of our shared world and the unseen details we often miss in our lives. Like spirituality itself, these simplest things, when appreciated with reverence, take on an entirely new meaning. Suddenly, that single blade of grass has gone from ordinary to poignant to explicit and finally miraculous in its beauty. As you listen to the Wisdom of Sundays, it is my prayer that you will uncover the little spaces in your own life, find comfort in them, gain insight to their meaning, and see the way forward to an extraordinary new way of being in the world. This book is a collection of some of the most powerful spiritual lessons, sparks of brilliance, and aha moments from Super Soul Sunday that continue to resonate with me today. What I know for sure is the most valuable gift you can give yourself is the time to nurture the unique spirit that is you. Your life, just like mine, is unfolding according to your own truth. No one has been through what you've been through, not in the way that you've experienced it. And yet, all pain is the same. Our sadness and sorrows, joys and triumphs, bind us in this common thread of humanity. The sooner we realize the connection, the more elevated life becomes. What you will learn from these spiritual teachers is that with every decision, you are claiming the essence of the phenomenon that is your life. The great American mythologist, author, and philosopher Joseph Campbell once said, "The privilege of a lifetime." is being who you are. I believe your true purpose here on earth is to align yourself with the great spiritual force, your divine inner compass, already at work in your life. I hope that the Wisdom of Sundays will illuminate your path to becoming all that you were meant to be. Embrace and enjoy the journey. Chapter 1, Awakening. Spirituality for me is recognizing that I am connected to the energy of all creation, that I'm a part of it, and it is always a part of me. Years ago, I invited renowned spiritual teacher Carolyn Mace to be a guest on The Oprah Winfrey Show. I'd just been introduced to Carolyn's groundbreaking work on healing and intuition, and I was so excited about what I'd learned that I couldn't wait to share it with the audience. I hoped they might experience the same spiritual awakening. Unfortunately, that is not what happened. For the first few minutes, Carolyn and I were totally engrossed in our conversation about spirituality and nurturing the soul. But eventually, we reached a point where I noticed that the people in the audience were looking at us like we were speaking a foreign language. I stopped the taping and asked if they understood what Carolyn and I were talking about. One woman bravely stood up and said, "No, Oprah, we really don't. What do you mean by spirit? Are you talking about Jesus?" "No," I said, "we're talking about you." The woman went on to say that she thought the word spirit meant something outside of herself, similar to how she viewed religion. This was an epiphany for me. I realized concepts like spirituality and the soul were unfamiliar ones for many people at that time. We have come a long way since then, but I'm forever grateful to that woman for speaking up. It is a wonderful reminder that every single person is at a different stage of their own spiritual evolution, and no path is the same. We eventually resumed taping, and I asked Carolyn to explain her definition of the word spirit. And now, years later, in most Super Soul Sunday conversations, I ask that same question. What does spirituality mean to you? The message running through the lesson in this chapter is that each one of us has been blessed with an individual spiritual essence. As you begin to establish a deeper connection to that innate presence within you, certain passages from the Wisdom of Sundays might feel like a direct spark to your heart, a big lightning bolt, or a little shiver that shouts, "Yes." I know this because I experienced it too. When something clicks so profoundly, it feels like a light bulb illuminating the truth. As these great spiritual teachers taught me, this is your awakening. It's resonating because it's spirit, recognizing spirit. That is the ultimate aha moment. I've selected my conversation with the best-selling author of The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer, for this chapter of the audiobook. In my conversation with Michael, we discuss the profound experience of a spiritual awakening. And as you will hear, Michael explains how letting go of the thoughts that run constantly through our head opens the gateway to our true being. This is what's so exciting here on Super Soul Sunday. My guest today just told me he has never done television at all.
I have not done television before.
Never done a television interview ever?
Only for you.
Only for me.
Only because you asked. Oh, otherwise, I say no every time I was invited.
Well, let me just tell you how this came to be. Did I tell you this already, how
no,
this came to
no.
be? That I discovered your book. I had about six or seven girlfriends at my ranch in Maui. And for my birthday, at the end of this wonderful 3 or 4 days, someone handed me, Peggy Fitzsimmons, left on the kitchen table, The Untethered Soul, this lovely book. I thought, oh, okay. And then I saw Deepak's notes, liner notes,
read this book carefully and you will get more than a glimpse of eternity. I like that. Mm-hmm. And the very idea of the untethered soul. So I thought, gee, what is that? The untethered soul. So I started reading it. First, part one is about awakening consciousness, which we've talked a lot about on the Oprah Show and did a 10-part series with Eckhart Tolle on the web back in 2008. And what I realized is that there are many paths in to understand this way of consciousness. And you talk about in the very first chapter, the voice in your head. Mm-hmm. And you described it in such great terms. I started reading. I didn't put the book down. You know, luckily I had, you know, enough time on that particular day. And I've now shared it with, I can't tell you how many people, and couldn't wait to be able to share it with everybody else.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So what is the voice inside our head?
It's something we listen to on a regular basis. The problem is we think it's us. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you look at a vase and it says, God, look, that's a very interesting shape, but I don't really like the color that much. It reminds my grandmother's vase. And all of a sudden we have somebody narrating and talking inside our head. Mm-hmm. That's not you,
yeah.
Right?
Those are all your thoughts about the vase.
And more as I watch that, I realize it never shuts up. That it talks about everything. It judges everything. It thinks about everything.
Right.
In the early 70s, Michael Singer was a young economic student studying for his doctorate. Sitting with a friend one day, he noticed a lull in their conversation. And in that quiet little lull moment, he became aware of the thoughts that were running through his head. He realized that that voice, that incessant voice that expresses worries and doubts and anxieties, was not really him, but he was the observer of the voice. That inner dialogue was an expression of his psyche, not his soul. And that was the beginning of his awakening.
And that was my path. That was the beginning of my path.
So what happened actually in that moment now that you can describe? I know Eckhart Tolle has said that that is the awareness, the voice, the awareness of the thoughts or the awareness of the voice inside your head is where consciousness resides. And that is who we really are.
Yes.
So that's what you came to.
Yes.
That was your open door.
Yes.
To the path to understanding yourself as a spiritual being inside a physical human body.
With a mind.
And isn't this the most important thing ever?
Period.
To get the
period.
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 Bar none.
None. Is the
this
most
is the road to
thing.
The spiritual
yes.
path. Is to understand that you are a spiritual yes. being. And the way to understand that you are a spiritual being is to know that you are not all
that's
of those thoughts.
Key. That's the key. Right? Because so far
key.
We can't say what you are because that's a thought, right?
Right. That's a thought.
Just you know you're not the thought. Why? Because I'm watching it.
Yes.
You are there watching these thoughts. And sometimes people say to me, but which of those are me? None of them are you. You are the one who's watching.
Okay, so I got this. I've shared this, so if you all have heard it before. When I was in India, I got it really clearly. I mean, I'd understood it through Eckhart. I'd understood it through transcendental meditation. I really got it. I was in India earlier this year. And there was a yogi who was leading me in meditation. And it was just the two of us. He said, you know, close your eyes. And now I'm going to name different objects. And one was a red triangle, and one was the moon, and one was a, you know, a white picket fence or whatever, all these objects. And he said, you know, hold on to the object in your mind, and then when I name the next object, let it go. What I realized in that conscious moment was that that's what's happening all the time. Red triangles and picket fences and chairs and thoughts about everything are coming in, and you can let those thoughts, I'm not good enough, I lost my job, I can't believe he left me, I can't believe my kids did it.
They're thoughts. They're not you.
So how do we begin to separate ourselves from the thoughts? That's the question.
Right, and that's the key. What I love that you said is that really is the beginning of spirituality.
That is.
Because to separate what you're not from what you are, if you don't do that,
right.
you're going to stay lost. The self is spiritual. The one who's watching is the gateway to spirituality. So if you continue to just get involved in the mind, in the thoughts of the mind, this true spiritual path doesn't take place.
So you ask this big, wonderful question, who are you? Who are you? And the answer when I ask you that question is?
At this stage of my growth, mm-hmm. who I am is the one who's in here, who notices the thoughts come up, who notices the emotions come out of the heart, and who sees whatever is in front of my senses. I am the seer. I am the one who sees.
The one who sees.
The one who sees.
Okay. And you also talk about the lucid self.
Yes.
What is the lucid self?
The example we use in the book is that you can have a lucid dream, in which some people know about that, that instead of you're lost in your dream, that sometimes you know you're dreaming. Have you ever had one of those?
Oh, I love it.
Where you're aware that you're dreaming.
Like, yeah. And then I've had them to the point where I say, I'm going to get out of this dream.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Right? So you are then more conscious in that dream than you normally would be.
Yes.
Right? Because you're
yes.
awake. In a sense, you're awake within the dream.
Yes.
That is what the lucid self is. And now do that in your real life. That your mind is continuing, life is following in front of you, but you are aware that your mind is moving, that the world is unfolding, but your seat of consciousness is transcendent to that. It's centered at a deeper level. And all of it just goes right by, and you don't have the same relationship with it that you used to have. It's something you're watching, not something you are.
Something you're watching, not something that you are. And I would say, and you just, I think, agreed with me that for everybody who is seeking, who's seeking this path of opening themselves up to being able to live a deeper, more enriched life, that understanding that concept is the most important
yes.
thing. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So there are a few books over the years, spiritual books by spiritual teachers, that have really been staples for opening the heart space for me, which is how I define spirituality. And I would tell anybody who is looking for a more deepened, enriched, fulfilling life and looking to change your perception of who you are and looking for miracles to occur regularly, this is the gift. I've given it to everybody, so.
Thank you.
Now I'm running out of people to give it to, so now I'm just sharing it with the world as I can. It's called The Untethered Soul. You say, if you really want to grow, real spiritual growth happens when there's only one of you inside. There's not a part that's scared and another part that's protecting the part that's scared. All parts are unified because there's no part of you that you're not willing to see.
Yes.
Oh, that's what being a whole person is,
yes.
isn't it?
Yes, that's integrity. That's true integrity. You're integrated as a being.
Wow. Isn't that why we're all here? To figure out how to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's easy. We make it hard, but it's actually very, very easy.
I love this too, for everybody who's on the spiritual path, opening up your heart. Once you've made the commitment to free yourself of that scared person inside, you'll notice that there's a clear decision point at which your growth takes place. You just notice something starts to change.
Yes.
Spiritual growth is about the point at which you start to feel your energy change.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, an event is happening outside, you're talking to somebody, enjoying the conversation, and all of a sudden they say something that hits something inside of you, a soft spot. Your heart starts to close. Your mind starts to figure out, why did they say that? Did I say something wrong? And you go south. you go somewhere, right? And you notice yourself starting to get involved in that reaction. And so at that moment, you have to decide, do I want to solve this? Does this need to be solved? And do I need to think about it? Or am I willing to just relax and let it pass?
You're talking about that chapter, Let Go or Fall?
Yeah, that's right in there.
Yes. Because when something comes in to disturb you, if you don't let it pass right through you,
yes.
you're saying the energy of it will drag you down into it,
yes.
and then you think you become that thing.
Right.
So what are we supposed to do when problems show up?
The moment it starts with that chitter-chatter, right?
Your mind.
My mind, my first reaction inside is to relax and lean away from that.
To go to the seat of self.
Just you can use words. I just relax and lean away from it.
Okay.
Right? Yes, it's true. You end up leaning into the seat of self.
Okay.
But I lean away from the noise the mind is making.
And by seat of self, I mean that awareness
that is my mind speaking.
Yes. yes.
Uh-huh. So you're going to do one or two things. Once it starts, you're either going to lean into it and get involved. It'll
yes,
pull you in.
Which is what most of us do.
Or you have the right. You have the right to relax and lean away. And what you're going to do is start to get some space. And you will learn over time that that's the smartest thing you ever did. Why? Because you gave it room to pass through, and it will pass right through.
Now, did this come to you over time? You learned this over time. I know I've read your story. You went to gurus. You sat alone. You meditated.
Right, right.
You became almost a recluse.
Yes.
And, you know, for most of us, that's not the path we want to take.
Good.
We just – good. You say good. We just want to be able to – and I say we, speaking for myself. I want to be able – to be connected to that seat of the self
yes.
that is ultimately where God flows through.
Yes.
The power of God flows through. How do we begin to make that happen for ourselves?
So because I did all of that and tried all of that, I am so proud to come back and tell you, no, you don't need to do that.
In fact, don't do it.
All you have to do is get to the point on your everyday life. Every moment of life is a spiritual experience. I know you know that.
Yes, I do. That's why we're here on Soul Sunday.
And the reason it becomes a spiritual experience is because you've realized you are causing the vast majority of your own problems due to your mental reactions. So as life unfolds on a daily basis, you have the right to choose not to do that. You can still go to work. You still take care of the kids. You just lean away from this mess that the mind is doing to amplify and overemphasize or over-exaggerate whatever's going on.
And then what do we do? Lean into what that awareness is saying?
What will happen is when you let go of the noisy mind, you will end up in a seat of quiet, which I know you'll have to talk about. You'll end up in a seat of quiet because that's what it is back there. It's
the
quiet.
The stillness,
right?
Okay.
And my experience is that now you can look at reality and you will know what to do. Just the fact that you don't have all this static, right?
Yes.
Means the quiet one who's clear will look at reality, and it will be pretty obvious what it is for you to deal with.
Yes. Ultimately, I think what we're all seeking, even when we don't know it, when I would ask people on the show for years, what do you want? Everybody would say they want happiness. But aren't we all ultimately seeking freedom?
Yes. We're seeking a state of absolute well-being, and that's what freedom means.
That's what it means, yeah.
And what's beautiful when you say, because I know you know it, is the true freedom is freedom from yourself.
Yes.
Right? I just want, like, what? How would you, I'll give you a vacation. Go to Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Or sit in the corner over there and go into ecstasy.
Yeah.
Which one you want?
Sit in the corner.
Okay?
Yeah.
In other words, the joy is inside ourselves.
Yes.
It's just that this mind has gotten programmed.
Because you can go all the way to Hawaii, and lots of people have done this. You get all the way to Hawaii, you save your money, you get to da-da-da, and you're taking your miserable self.
That's right.
Yes.
That's why freedom is freedom from yourself, not freedom for yourself.
Got it. May I just say, get the book and now you'll know what I'm talking about. But this chapter I love the most. Let go now or fall. The exploration of self is inextricably interwoven with unfolding one's life. The natural ups and downs of life can either generate personal growth or create personal fears. Which of these dominates is completely dependent upon how we view change. Change, which people are so opposed to. Change can be viewed as either exciting or frightening, but regardless of how we view it, we must all face the fact that change is the very nature of life. Now, why are we so afraid of change?
What basically happens is we've gone to the mind and said, I'm not okay. How does everything need to be for me to be okay? And then we are devoted ourselves to try and create that situation. It doesn't work, but we don't know that yet. And so we try to create situations that we think will make us be okay. And when things start changing that don't match that model,
yeah, we get scared.
We get scared because it looks like it's not going to work.
Okay, I love what you say, too, in the next paragraph. You say, people don't realize that fear is a thing.
Yes.
Fear is a thing.
It's a thing.
It's just another object in the universe that you're capable of experiencing, and you can do one of two things with fear. You can
either push it away or you can let it go.
Yeah.
Right? You can either avoid it and be scared of it, or you can let it pass right through.
Okay. So what do you mean by let go now or fall?
Right. Fear comes up out of your heart. That's a very natural thing. It's human. All right? You are watching. You see it. You have the right to relax, let it pass right through you. If you don't do that, you're going to try and fix it. You're going to try and control situations outside so you don't ever feel the fear. And it all starts to bother you. That's what it means. You'll fall. And eventually you'll lose your consciousness. You'll forget your whole purpose. And you'll just be scared. You just get scared.
You say the alternative is to decide not to fight with life, but that feels like just giving up and letting things take over.
Right. You don't do that in any way, shape, or form, right? Life is a natural unfolding of reality. You're supposed to harmonize and work with it. You don't give up and let it take over, right? You're like if you get on a horse and you're scared, you're not going to be a very good rider, right? But that doesn't mean you let the horse go wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to interface and interact with life in a wholesome, participatory way. Fear doesn't let you do that. So letting go of fear is not letting go of life.
Okay, I'm watching this for the first time or the 10th time. I am on this path. I want to lead a better life. The first thing you would tell me to do is what we've been talking about, is to recognize the voice inside your head.
Yes.
Yeah. Step back, be allowed to be in the seat of self. And then the next thing.
The next thing is when you're watching, see whether what that voice is saying is really helpful. In other words, is it really giving you good advice? Or is it just a neurotic voice talking inside your head? Mm-hmm. And you will find that in every situation you're in life, there is a higher way to deal with the situation. Of course, there are situations that are difficult to deal with, but there is still a higher way to deal with that situation than being reactive, which is the only thing the mind is going to do.
So one of my favorite other chapters, it's chapter 17, Contemplating Death. It's truly a great paradox that one of the best teachers in all of life turns out to be death. No person or situation could ever teach you as much as death has to teach you. While someone could tell you that you're not your body, death shows you. I love that line. You were in the flow, man, when you were writing that. Were you not? Okay. While someone tells you, someone could remind you of the insignificance of the things that you cling to, death takes them all away in a second. Wow. How long did it take you to write this?
It didn't take that long to write the book.
While people can teach you that men and women of all races are equal and that there's no difference between the rich and the poor, death instantly makes us all the same. Love that. The question is, are you going to wait until that last moment to let death be your teacher? My favorite line is where you say, let's say you're living life without the thought of death, and the angel of death comes to you and says, come, it's time to go. And you say, but no, you're supposed to give me a warning so I can decide what I want to do with my last week. I'm supposed to get one more week. Do you know what death will say to you?
I've given you your whole life. What were you doing with your whole life? How did you not be aware that your time is limited and you're supposed to be using it for something meaningful?
Yeah. Death will say, my God, I gave you 52 weeks this past year alone. I love that. And look at all the other weeks I've given you. Why would you need one more? What did you do with all of those? If asked that, what are you going to say? How will you answer it? I wasn't paying attention. I didn't think it mattered. That's a pretty amazing thing to say about your life. My other favorite chapter of my new favorite book, The Untethered Soul, is Removing Your Inner Thorn. We all have them, right?
Yes, we do.
Do you still have some thorns?
Of course.
You do. Okay. The spiritual journey is about constant transformation. So you were saying, imagine, can you just do this for our audience? That whole passage on imagining you have a thorn in your arm that directly touches a nerve. Can you do that?
So the analogy we were using is, if you had a thorn that was touching directly to a nerve so much so that anything that touched it caused pain inside of you. So if you walked, difficult to walk through the woods and the leaf touched it, you weren't able to walk. If you were trying to interact with people, it caused a disturbance. And the key point of it is you have two choices. One is, you can either try to avoid everything in your life that touches that thorn,
right?
Or you can do this amazing alternative, which is take it out. All right? If you try to avoid it, you will be avoiding it for your entire life. It will go on constantly.
Which is what we're all doing, right?
Yes, it is.
We're all doing. We got our thorns in, and we don't want anybody to touch them. Yes. And if they touch them and they irritate our little thorn, we're upset because you shouldn't have touched my thorn.
Yes.
That's the whole...
And that's the game that we play, is how do I build a life that avoids touching all this stuff that happened to me that I can't handle? When they happened, I couldn't handle it. And now it's caused all these soft spots inside of me.
Thorns.
Thorns. So I need to create a life... Train everybody around me, all right, so they don't
avoid
ever touch that.
Avoid my thorn. Some people even say that. Don't you go there
That's
with
right.
me.
That's
yeah,
right.
yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
Right. The alternative is to understand you can remove that thorn inside of you the same as you can remove it outside. And if you remove it, you will never have to think about it again, and you can start to enjoy your entire life. And that is spirituality.
That is spirituality. Now, how do you know what your thorn is?
Disturbance tells you. Just like pain happens when you hit the thorn outside,
yes.
Disturbance happens inside.
Because it's never what is actually happening.
Right.
It's what is happening is irritating your thorn.
It was put in there before.
That's
very good.
That's good.
So those events will show
that's
you.
That's good. Y'all get that? That's really good. So even when you see your husband leaves the drawers open or the whatever open or the left something, it's not about what's going on.
Right.
It's about the thorn that was there.
Yes.
So, okay, how do we then begin to remove the thorns? That's the spiritual journey, is it not?
Yes, it is. When something hits it, you will feel a disturbance pop up inside of you, right? And you have to choose right then, what are you going to do about that?
Okay, so, and by something hitting it meaning you're in a conversation, you're in your office, somebody says something, it hits a nerve, you think they have disrespected you,
whatever.
They have stepped out of bounds, they shouldn't have said that, your boss did something, your child did something, that's the nerve. But what's the difference between that and They really did do something.
The difference is you always start with saying, do I want to be disturbed? Do I like being disturbed? No, I don't like being disturbed. So I have a choice. An event happened outside. I can deal with that event without being disturbed. In fact, I promise you I can deal with it better without being disturbed. Disturbance isn't helping you. Disturbance is hurting you.
Got it.
And so you are way better off learning how to deal with the disturbance. And that is also how you remove the thorn. They are directly related. The fact that the situation outside stimulated this disturbance inside of you means that you've uncovered something stored inside of you that needs to come out.
You say earlier on in the book that we, in life, are to use our problems as a way through to the spiritual path.
Yes.
Those problems that really we should, I don't know whether the word is rejoice, but you should be excited about these problems because these problems are an opportunity for you to look at what really is going on inside. Right. Hey, God, that's a lot of work.
Well, but net result is all you do, which I know you teach all the time, you talk about all the time, what do I do when I feel a disturbance, right? You relax. But people say, I don't understand. I just said I was disturbed. How can I relax?
Yeah, let's do something simple like road rage, which I never understand why, for the life of me, I can't understand why people get upset about somebody who cuts in front of you or somebody who... What is that? That's about something else that's going on, right?
That's right. Okay. It's something inside of you that's stimulated.
Your inner thorn.
Yeah, that's your inner thorn. So you got to decide, do I want to go out there and try to make sure nobody ever goes too slow in front of me or, you know, devote your life to that?
Yes.
Or would you like to say, look, I would like to enjoy my drive to work, even if somebody cut me off, but I can't. Because I just got extremely disturbed due to my past experiences.
So we should look at our disturbances and see what our disturbances are trying to tell us about ourselves.
You know, it's like if your body started to hurt, you don't say, shut up. You say, well, I wonder what's wrong. It's trying to talk to me. That is your heart telling you something's wrong inside of me. You want to get it out. And so you just appreciate life as your teacher. And then ultimately, just we get it down, how do you get it out? You relax and it will work itself out. That is my experience.
You relax.
You relax and don't touch it and relax behind it and it will come up and push its own way out. It's almost as if your heart doesn't want that inside.
Yeah.
And so just like the body pushes splinters out.
Yes.
It will try to push it out, but you won't let it. Because the moment it tries to push out, you push it back down.
Ooh, this personal growth thing. It's
real. But the freedom you
it's
get
a lot.
From
Some
it.
Days I say, Jesus, don't teach me nothing new today. Because you're constantly, every day, with every experience, have the opportunity to take that, quote, spiritual path. And by spiritual, we mean opening up yourself to better understand yourself.
Right.
And every difficulty, every challenge is there to help you do that.
It is. And the beauty is you do not have to work out every one of your issues. You do not have to look, oh my God, I got so many, I'll never do that. You do not have to. What will happen is you'll relax behind enough times to where your seat of awareness will now be centered more in your seat of consciousness instead of the issues keep pulling you out. And when you do that, you will start to feel something open up inside of you. I guarantee you, you call it spirit, call it whatever you want. You will start to feel a strength, a power behind you, not in front of you where the thorns are, behind you where you've been leaning back into.
Yeah.
And it will support you and strengthen you and feed you, and the rest of the stuff will just fall away because it looks so meaningless.
Where is God in all of this for you?
At the end of that, the source of that.
At the end
the of... The source of that energy.
Of the seed of self.
Yeah, you start to feel this beautiful love and joy, and just it literally like a vacuum, it starts to pull you up into it. And God is the source of that, the source of spirit. And as you come closer into it, you get closer to God. And there's a joy that can open up inside that is so strong that nothing will ever pull you out. Your personal self will no longer pull you out. There's no struggle anymore, right? There's just this strength, the spiritual strength. You've turned the corner.
Okay, how do you get that?
By the more you are willing to not get pulled into your personal self.
By removing the thorn.
By letting the thorn be removed.
Which is so interesting. You know, I remember, you know, a while back, I was being blasted in the media for various things, what was happening with the channel or not happening and what people thought should be happening. And I was in the most peaceful space. Mm-hmm. I was at my home with the trees and the sky and the, and all of a sudden I went inside and all of that did not matter. I thought, isn't this interesting? And then that's when I did that thing you're talking about. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but you just step back and you go inside.
And that's always there. That's always available to you. And now,
and that's our connection to God.
Yes. Yeah. And now you sit there and say, how much better able are you to deal with the situations that need to be dealt with from that place of peace than you are from that disturbance?
Because you can't. Because once you allow yourself to be in the disturbance, then everybody's just disturbed.
That's right.
Everybody's doing this. Right. And what can we do? And what should we say? And how should we react?
Exactly.
And what, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you bring that peace to the table, you spread it everywhere. And I know you know that because I've heard you say that, right? And so all of a sudden, it's not just that you're better able, but everything around you is better able to deal with the situation. So to answer what you've asked me throughout the interview is, how do you deal with these terrible situations? Aren't they real? They are real, and you should deal with them. But first, be ready to deal with them. Come from a space of peace, and you'll find that you can deal with anything.
Even, I know what the answer is going to be, but I'm asking this question because so often people have said to me, oh, easy for you to say, Oprah, from where you sit, and easy to say if you haven't lost your job or you're not facing a terminal disease, or easy to say if you're not going through difficult times in your life. I know you went through some difficult times because when I finished reading this book, the first thing I did was to Google to say, who is this guy and where did he get all this information and how does he know what he knows? And what comes up when you Google your name, anybody who's watching, I know that you all are going to do that, is that you were involved, you were indicted several years ago for fraudulent behavior, your company was?
Basically, yes. The government came in and accused the entire executive team of our company of fraud.
You were chairman or CEO?
I was CEO at the time, yes, of fraud.
So when you're in the middle of being charged by the government of fraud, were you innocent?
Yes. Well, innocent in the sense that there was somebody who had done things in the company for sure, right? Had been taking kickbacks and so on, and he pointed the finger up and said they knew what I was doing. Right?
Did you?
No, of course not. Of course not. Right?
Well, I have to ask.
Well, of course you can ask. Of course.
Okay, so, being accused or indicted by the government for fraudulent behavior could cause you to be pulled down. And I mean, I've been on trial back in 1998.
Yes,
what is this all about? Were you able to stay in that centered space of spirit that you talk about during that whole time?
Yes, completely.
You were?
From the moment that took place,
I'm not that good yet.
The peace came over me. And I just rested back into it, and my attitude was, my God, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to let go of anything that's left of me. Because, as you said, it was pretty noisy stuff, right? And there was a part of me, right, that, of course, would never want to be in that situation. I didn't do anything, right? But I let go of him. The whole personality, the whole Michael Sanger, all right?
Yeah.
That let go of him. Right? This is not a situation that he should be in, but he is. It's God's grace. I felt that God was reaching down to pull whatever was left of my ego out, and he used this situation to do it. We defended ourselves, of course, right? But I knew I didn't do anything. And so the question was, are you willing to use the situation to just complain and carry on how unfair it is? Are you willing to use the situation to let life reach in to the bottom of your heart and pull out whatever's left of your self-concept, your ego, your scared self, and stand there? And what it does is give you birth. It gives you spiritual birth. Went on for 6 years.
I went on for 6 years.
God did me good.
That is amazing because I was on trial for 6 weeks and I thought, whoa.
I never actually went to trial. It got dropped. The charges got dropped before trial.
Yeah. But the investigation.
The whole thing. All the noise.
Thing. 6 years.
6 years.
And you are telling me, Michael Singer, that in 6 years you never said, oh God, why me? Oh, this is a terrible, terrible thing. Oh my God, what's going to happen to me?
That's correct. It was the opposite. It was, if I had one chance, opportunity in my life for liberation, God just gave it to me. How am I going to get rid of myself? How am I going to finally pull that thing out, that big thorn, right, of me? The me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
care
yeah.
What everybody thinks and scared to death that somebody would think I did something wrong or anything like that, right?
Wow.
And so I chose to do that. And so my mind wasn't saying, why me? My mind was saying, take it. Just take it. please take it away. I don't want to carry this burden anymore. Not the burden of the thing, the burden of me.
Wow.
Right? And so it's a very spiritual thing. I wrote that book in the middle of that experience.
You wrote this book in the middle of all of the crazy being indicted in the thing.
Yes. You know, there it is, right? That's the life. If you live that life, you can go very, very deep and you can handle anything. You can handle anything. And all of it can help you go to God. You just use it to go to God. That's what Ram Dass used to say. Use it to go to God.
All of it can help you go to God.
If you use it properly. If that's what you want.
Well, this is what's so interesting about what you just said. I just love that. Because, you know, my prayer for the past couple of years, even before I ended the Oprah show, was a closer walk with God. Was a closer walk with God. Now, I think when I was praying that prayer, I thought that that was going to be walking through the lilies of the field. There would be lots of roses going through the garden, you know, because you think that that's what it's going to be. And sometimes it's not.
You must die to be reborn. I love that Christ said that. You understand that? Those are Christ's words.
Right.
You must die to be reborn. It means you must be willing to let go of your personal self, of your psychological self, of the complaining voice.
Your
of,
identity.
All that.
Your just, image, your blah, 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 all that.
In order to be who you are, you must be willing to let go of who you think you are. That's what's meant by you must die to be reborn. And as you let that go, and he will help pull it out, right? And so you use it spiritually, and you will see that it will help you more than any meditation or anything. You meditate so that you have the center so you can let go of what life is doing. The real growth is letting go.
That's perfect.
Chapter 2. Intention. The number one principle that rules my life is intention. Thought by thought. Choice by choice. We are co-creating our lives based on the energy of our intention. I can say with certainty that had I not read Gary Zukav's book, The Seat of the Soul, there would be no Super Soul Sunday. There would be no OWN TV, and the Oprah Winfrey Show would probably not have been on the air for 25 years. It would have ended sooner. Anyone who knows me knows the principle of intention that I learned from Gary changed the way I approach everything. In fact, I talk about the importance of intention so much that people often recite my own words back to me. Just hearing intention rules every outcome makes me want to stand up and cheer. The lesson I learned from my conversations with Gary may sound simple, but it is the universal truth behind all relationships. The energy we put out in the world is the energy we get back. So if you want more love in your life, set your intention to be more loving. If you seek kindness, focus your energy on empathy and compassion. Conversely, if you wonder why there's so many angry people in your life, look no further than the resentment you hold in your own heart. Anyone who's on the path of a spiritual awakening needs to know that it's sometimes difficult. It's challenging when you declare, I want to grow. I want to be better than I've known myself to be. But I don't see the opportunity to craft our own lives as a burden. I see it as one of the gifts of being alive. For so many years, I suffered from what I call a disease to please. I worried that if I ever said no to something, people were going to think I wasn't nice, or they might think I was selfish and ask, why wouldn't you do that for me? The power of intention cured me of that. I stopped listening to that little voice in my head that was trying to convince me of what other people thought. I made the shift to listen to the truth of who I really was, telling me what I really wanted. This shift can happen for you too. Before you agree to do anything that might add even the smallest amount of stress to your life, ask yourself, what is my truest intention? What's the real reason I'm doing this? Give yourself time to let the answer resound within you. When the intention is right and the answer is yes, I guarantee your entire body will feel it. What follows is my Super Soul conversation with Gary Zukav as we explore the topic of finding your authentic power through intention.
How wonderful we get to be here to have this wonderful conversation about my favorite subject on earth.
Mine too.
Really?
The soul.
The soul.
And why we're here.
And why we're here. So today, Under the Oaks with Gary at my house, I would just say this is a primer for Seat of the Soul. Those of you who have not read Seat of the Soul, I will just honestly say it is probably the number one book for opening myself to myself. The number one book for doing that. And I would say my life changed exponentially after reading it and understanding what authentic power was. And I've always tried to, since I read and could articulate what authentic power was, when the personality comes to fully serve the energy of the soul, that I've tried to always do that in all of my decisions, be aligned with what is going to be the authentic truth for myself. You helped me to do that, so I owe you a lot.
I am so grateful.
I owe you a lot.
That makes my heart sing.
I would have to say that over the 25 years of doing shows, since I discovered Seat of the Soul, everything that you've written in Seat of the Soul applies to practically every subject I've ever done. For example, I was doing a show not too long ago with women who were talking about, beautiful women, actresses, talking about what it means to grow older and lose that sense of beauty when you walk into the room and everybody's eyes turn to watch you. And I thought about what you wrote in the chapter on authentic power. There will come a time if you are using your external looks, if you're using your position in your business, if you're using all of that, at some point will come to an end.
All of it.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
Let's look at the time between your birth and the time of your death as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Call it the Earth School.
Yes, I remember the first time we did that. Call it the Earth School.
The Earth School, think of it this way, is a real-time, multimedia, surround sound, full color, cast of billions, learning environment that always provides you with every interaction and every circumstance, opportunities that are perfect for your spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Given the wisdom of the choices that you've made.
Right. And nothing's happening out of order with you and what you need to grow, correct?
That is correct, but it's not as though it's predestined.
Right.
It's not as though it's written.
Right, you're ordering it.
You make choices.
Yes, yes.
And every choice you make creates consequences, and you will encounter it whether you're willing to encounter it or not. So when you make that choice consciously, you create your future consciously. And if you're willing to encounter those consequences now, it won't come as a painful surprise to you
when you
encounter them.
That's right. Now, you know the most exciting chapter to me in the Seat of the Soul?
What's that?
It is the principle by which I rule my company and the principle by which I rule every action in my life. And that is intention!
Yes, yes.
Intention.
Yes. That's at the heart of it. That's at the heart of creating authentic power.
Yes.
Intention.
To the point where, and now people make jokes about it. I mean, everybody, I've said it so often. You know, when I first learned about intention from you, and this is what everybody needs to know who's on the path of spiritually opening yourself up, awakening, is that it's difficult. It's challenging when you say, I want to grow. I want to be better than I have known myself to be. So I used to have the disease to please, and intention cured me. So shortly after I had read the chapter on intention, I got a call from a very famous celebrity who was asking me to do something for them and to be a part of a benefit. And I really didn't want to do it. But I thought, well, if I don't do it, this person is going to think I'm not a nice person. This person is going to think I'm a selfish person. This person is going to think, well, why wouldn't you do it for me? I was thinking if I don't do it, then the person is going to never want to do anything for me if I ever call on them again. And I sat with that and realized not one single response to being asked had anything to do with, do I really want to give of myself my time and attention? I realized
That's right.
In that moment that my disease to please had always been about wanting people to think I was a certain way. So I said no. The world did not fall apart. The person didn't hate me afterwards. Because of that, I got the courage to say no again and again and again. And so now I only do what I intend to do. So I am here because I really want to be here. And that's when you can give of yourself fully.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is how powerful what you wrote did for me and also my business. When I started to understand the principle of intention, I then changed the way I operated all of my businesses. And I said to the producers, do not bring me a show idea. Do not even come to me with the idea unless you know what your intention is that you want to serve. How do we wish to serve our viewers? How do we serve the public? So when people would bring ideas then, they would have to also list, and my intention is, and my intention is. Intention is one with cause and effect. You cannot participate in the cause without the effect, and the intention will ultimately determine the outcome of the effect.
Exactly. The intention is the cause.
Is the cause.
The intention is the cause. An intention.
And that you can't separate them. You cannot separate them.
No, no, you can't.
They're inseparable. They're one.
And if you don't know what the intention is, it still creates the effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you still encounter it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I want to suggest that everyone watching us consider. I want to say this directly to someone. I suggest that you entertain considering the possibility that you are a powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit. Now that may seem a lot, but try that on for size. And if you find that it doesn't fit, if you find that there is a distance between who you are and what you say and what you do and the way that you behave and a powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit, then also consider that that distance is the distance that you have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
That is your spiritual path. Mm-hmm. That's your curriculum in the Earth School. Thank you. I love saying that directly.
That is fantastic.
To people.
That's great.
So how do you make that journey between what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're thinking now, and what those things would be if you were fully operating as what you are? Powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit.
And I know for a lot of people it's hard to take in when you hear it at first, but on page 37 in the chapter on karma, I love this line. The conflicts of a human's life are directly proportional to the distance at which an energy of personality exists separately from the soul.
Yes.
And therefore, as we shall see, in an irresponsible position of creation. When a personality is in full balance, love the sentence, you cannot see where it ends and the soul begins. That is a whole human being.
That's right. And that's why we're together again to talk about how to do that.
How do you
how
do that?
How to create that. That is the creation of authentic power. So we were talking about intention. We can start anywhere,
yes,
but let's start with
the intention, yes.
An intention is a quality of consciousness that you bring to a deed or words.
Mm-hmm. It's an energy.
It's an energy.
It's an energy.
It's an energy.
So it's a quality of
consciousness.
Got it.
It's your reason for speaking.
Reason.
It's your motivation.
Motivation, yes.
So the real motivation is the one that creates consequences. For example, when someone says, I want a bigger home, it could be because I want to impress the neighbors. Or it could be because we've adopted 4 children and I want to give them more space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the why beneath the why.
Mm-hmm. The why beneath the why.
Beneath the why. You might say that the first intention, like I want to get another job so that I can have more money. This could be called an out tension.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really what you want to do to change things in the world. But your intention is the bedrock bottom. This is it, real intention. I want to support my wife. She needs some support now. I want to send my children to college. I want to have room for my newly adopted children.
Now, and what you're saying here is that the consciousness or energy behind the motivation is going to determine the effect that occurs.
Precisely.
Precisely.
We started off by talking about a personality and a soul.
Yes.
Let's focus on the personality
yes.
for a while. A personality has a lot of different aspects or parts. For example, some parts of your personality are angry, jealous, vengeful, feel superior and entitled, feel inferior and need to please, can't stop smoking, drinking, watching pornography.
Addicted.
Compulsive, can't stop working. Mm-hmm. Obsessive, can't stop thinking. You know, I've got to have her. Oh, he's so great. Mm-hmm. Or I'm so stupid. Or she's so stupid. And the thoughts keep going. All of those things you can put into one basket. And here's why. Because they have a couple of things in common. Number one, they hurt when you really experience them.
And that's why people often either scream or shout or do something or medicate in some way to make themselves not feel that. Because most of us don't want to go in and feel that.
Exactly right.
Yes.
You know it exactly. The compulsive, addictive, obsessive, painful action or word is an attempt in that moment to mask that pain.
The real pain.
The real pain.
Yeah. And lashing out at somebody else in that moment, or for me, going to eat some almonds or doing whatever, is a way of not feeling what you need to feel.
Bingo.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. And the true spiritual work is allowing yourself to feel what you need to feel.
Yes, that's the first part of it. That's emotional awareness.
Yes.
Now, but let's go back to those feelings, because this is really interesting.
Yes.
The first thing that they have in common is they hurt.
Yes.
The second thing they have in common is that when you act on them, they create painful consequences, destructive consequences.
Right.
So we can put all of those parts of your personality that share those two things into this basket, and we'll give it a generic name. We'll write on the side, fear. Now, there's other parts of your personality. For example, the part that's grateful, the part that's content, the part that's appreciative, patient, caring, in awe of the universe. These parts of your personality also share two things. Number one, they feel good.
Yes. I feel great.
That's it.
Yes.
And
that's why gratitude's so wonderful. Gratitude is my favorite.
And
it makes you feel good no matter what.
Now, there's a difference between that feeling of, and the feeling of, I got my Mercedes. Yes. That is happiness.
Yes.
That's not joy.
Yeah.
We're talking about something else.
Yes.
That is an experience in the fear basket, because when you get something that a frightened part of your personality wants, a fear-based part, it makes you ecstatic or happy temporarily.
Well, you know what is interesting about what you're saying is that the more, it's very easy to say as a person who's been financially and materially blessed, but it's true, the more things I've been able to require, the less those things actually bring happiness to me. And I really have sort of a neutral feeling about all things. I can't think of one thing. And I know people say, well, of course, because you have everything. But I can't think of one thing, actually, except maybe my panini maker, that brings me, that I can say that makes me happy.
It can be your earring that your grandmother gave you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be something special that a child in Africa gave you, and you have an attachment to it. And if you lose it, then you feel depressed. So we're not talking about magnitude on a material level. We're talking about intention, energy, attachment. We're talking about fear, parts of your personality that originate in fear, that reach outward to change the physical world in order to mask the pain. And I'll tell you what that pain is if you'd like to know.
Yes, I do want to know.
It's the pain of powerlessness.
Hmm.
The pain of powerlessness.
So when somebody's in the middle of being angry or being depressed or being feeling abandoned or feeling